It's 5:30. We're going to go ahead and get started tonight. I'll call this committee meeting to order, Courts and Public Safety. Our new business is Ordinance 2432, which is a transfer of county property. Ms. Margaret, would you like to...
Do you want to put it on the table first?
I guess we should do that. I will entertain a motion to put this on the table for discussion.
So moved.
Ms. Margaret, do you want to have our attorney read it and then you can discuss it?
I don't know that it needs read, but I can discuss it. So, Sarah, do you mind putting up the photos? So, this is transferring 10 machines to Cleburne County and 5 machines to Randolph County. This is the room where our machines are stored, and you'll see how tight it is. They're wall to wall from the very front to the very back. And if we can pull out and transfer about 25 machines, right now we've got 15 going out, if y'all approve. And this will open up us some space to be able to move this stuff around during elections and to be able to utilize our space better, because these are machines that we are not using. So, and the machines that I'm asking to transfer were purchased by the state and then transferred to us, so it's not machines that the county itself bought. So that's why I wasn't asking for a money transfer to go with that. But because we're tight on space, these are machines that we're not probably ever going to use because the state overestimated how many we needed to buy. So this will help out Cleburne County and Randolph County to not have to use machines that they used during early to have to use them again out on the sides. So entertaining questions? You're welcome.
Right, if there are no questions, I will entertain a motion to move this to full court.
So moved.
Okay. All right, and we will go ahead and move to our second order of new business, which is proposed resolution 2405, which is the sheriff's detention center resolution. And is Sheriff Riles, Chief Deputy Woolley, who wants to speak on that tonight?
So to get a motion,
make a motion to propose resolution.
I mean, that's just a
second.
Okay.
Ms. Margaret, would you like to read it again?
Yeah. Nope. Maybe I'm just not loud. So I emailed. Y'all get my packet that I kind of emailed last week to kind of explain up to this resolution. So basically, according to Arkansas Code and the rules of criminal procedure, they give you, and we've talked about jail overcrowding. That's no secret that we're doing everything we can to manage our operations. Well, another tool in our tool belt is this resolution that's before you to grant good time, basically. As I said in my bullet points, we're doing most of the six things that we have as tools outside of a worker release program and ankle monitors, because we're not set up really for electronic monitoring. The reason this is in front of you is, according to Arkansas law, this has to be approved by the court of courts, and they have to support it. We do have classification committees that classify detainees on a daily basis. So that committee will also take up keeping this up to date. And this is a tool for overcrowding. I don't see this being a tool for every day, you know, if we're not overcrowded. But as I put in my packet, I was trying to help understand. So we always talk about, well, the numbers look good in Unit 2, but we're overcrowded in Unit 1. So I tried to show the flow of how Unit 2 affects Unit 1. And we, you know, for a few months now, we've been taking only violent misdemeanors and violent felonies. And we're still, even today, we're at 200 in unit one. So, you know, another thing that's not listed on here as far as max lines, of course, our ADC. We talk about ADC all the time. Since July 6th, going back and looking through my emails, 54 ADC inmates have went down to ADC. But as of today, we got 71. So it's a revolving process, and, you know, they take 10 or 12, maybe 7 at a time. All the language in this resolution is under the statute. The 1-for-1, the 2-for-30, or you get none. It's utilized also to help your discipline and your work efficiency inside the jail, because basically you're earning this good time based on your actions inside the facility. It's mainly for the misdemeanor process, because it says sentence to the county jail. So usually that is your misdemeanor detainee. Sometimes it's some low felonies, you know, could be. But most of this is for misdemeanor. Like I said, it's for overcrowding. It specifically states in our jail law book, it gives you these 6 ways, and it's for managing overcrowding. So if you have any questions on what I sent you, be happy to explain anything.
Chief, I appreciate what y'all do. Sympathetic for sure. I've fought since I've been on here to try to get y'all the support we can, trying to get this new jail going and everything. And I know y'all are working on that. And I don't want you to think or take anything, but I'm going to say it's criticism of y'all.
Yes, sir.
It's a hell of a spot to be in.
Yes, sir.
Where you're taking in these felonies and violent misdemeanors. So if that's all we're taking in, will that be all we would be releasing also? I mean, those are the ones that are overcrowded in jail. Does that mean we're going to be releasing violent misdemeanors and felons?
No. So obviously, the majority of everybody gets a bond, right, eventually. But we do everything within our power not to release anybody with a violent, especially felonies. You know, we try, you know, even our capacity now, you know, of our felonies, we try not to go to the prosecutor and say, hey, will you look at a list and release those? I mean, because really those are the guys that wreak havoc in our community. That's who we need to keep in, which is another point of this. You know, it's kind of a double-edged deal. I mean, we have a duty to keep our public safe and hold those accountable, but we can only do that within the limits of the prosecutors that we have to work with. So, even on violent misdemeanors, I mean, domestic batteries, they're going to come in, they're going to have their day in court. From there, they may get a bond. So, this is for sentence. Already been to court, sentenced to however much jail time.
Sure. And like I said, I know you are in a tough spot. And I wish we could get that jail, buddy. I wish we could have it built tomorrow. I know we'll get ready to build it. It's going to take some time. But I appreciate what y'all did, and I want to commend you too for that operation y'all posted about the other day. It's getting those sex offenders off.
Can I add, you mind if I add just a little bit?
Another one of the issues that we're having, and this is basically tailored around misdemeanor offenses. And one of the issues that we're having is we're having folks post sentence, they're being directed to our Unit 2 facility. In 2 days, we wound up close to 20 of them at one given time, based on traffic violations, either serving 3, 5, 90, even up to a year in these. And these are traffic violations. And this is one thing that would help in a situation like that, based on their behavior in good time. So.
And so those people like that, would that be, like, when you release these guys, I know you have priority systems that probably I don't understand as well as a lot of people do, but you wouldn't release someone convicted of beating his wife before you release the speed ticket, is what you're saying there, basically.
Oh, no. Yes.
Okay. Now, there's going to be, I mean, obviously, when you think about a sentence detainee as a whole, there's going to be a scale there. You know, personally and professionally, if a guy's sentenced to 365 days in jail for beating his wife, he's going to do 365 days, okay, unless we just absolutely have no problem or no other, nothing else we can do. To alleviate space. Obviously, that's going to be the highest, you know, or the lowest of the scale. whichever way you want to look at it. And this will be more towards probably traffic, shoplifting, misdemeanor theft, stuff like that. But I would say it'd be a very low priority to try to release somebody that's got a violent misdemeanor.
There are obviously very violent misdemeanors that we all know about and we've seen, but as far as violent felonies, those would not be sentenced to county jail. That would be ADC. So I think this is a great idea, and it gives you a little carrot too to try to make them behave themselves. And I know with overcrowding, that's kind of goes hand in hand with the problems you may have.
Sure.
I support it 100%.
I'm going to support it. I want to make it clear. I trust y'all. I trust y'all to do the right thing by the county, protect the public. I know that you're number one priority. I just want to make sure that people realize this is not us turning soft on crime. Us on the court, I mean. I know. I trust y'all, and I want to make it clear to everybody out there maybe watching or listening that when I vote for this, it's going to be knowing that y'all are doing right by the people. Y'all are going to make sure you got a priority system in place so that we're not releasing people who are going to go out there and kill their neighbors.
Yes, sir.
Any additional questions, comments? Committee, any additional JPs in the audience have any questions or comments?
Just in case I've got one.
Yes, sir.
How many other counties are using this program?
Honestly, I couldn't answer that.
Some of the training that I've attended in the last 6 months, talking to other jail administrators, it's something that everybody's trying to use. It's a state standard. This
right.
is not something that we're solely just a program we're trying to develop. It's in jail law. It's just something we've never instituted, but we've also never seen the levels that we're seeing right now. What we want to do is remove those people that are eligible based on that criteria so that we can make room for the people that are violent, felons, the people with high-level crimes. We're having a hard time cramming them all in together. What we want to do is relieve that so that we can put the people that we don't want in our community. We absolutely, by no means, want to turn them away. We have to make room for them at this point. And we still, and I've said this before, we have a constitutional responsibility to even detainees. At the end of the day, they are our neighbors. They are people who live in Faulkner County, many of them. So we want to do right by what's best for the county as a whole. That's even inside the jail. And we're putting ourselves in a bad position when we can't hold the people we really need to be holding. And that's kind of what's happening right now. They're still coming into jail, but we're getting into the point where we're so full that it's unsafe for officers to even go into a cell. We would never send a deputy on the street into a house with 30 people and send in two deputies. We're asking two officers with half of the implements that we give patrol duty personnel, these implements to do their job in the house, we wouldn't send them in there. We're doing it every day with these folks in the jail. And they're no more safe in there than the guy is out on the street doing his job. So what we're trying to do is just get it to a manageable level. We're not going to let violent people out.
I understand. Yeah, it's just from when we're voting on this, being asked about on this, it's helpful to know, hey, is
sure.
there another county doing it? How's it worked? You know, when was it implemented? What's the tracker? If those type of things are helpful in the decision-making process.
I believe Benton County enacted it in 2018. Pulaski's enacted one in 2022. Those are the two that I know of off the top of my head.
Thank you, Council.
Justice Stein, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was wondering, this one says it's one day for one day. Does that actually reduce their sentence, or are they just being released like on the floor? Are you actually reducing their sentence, or are you just letting them on the street on some kind of parole to where they're still monitored for the rest of their sentence?
It's really, I mean, obviously we don't have a parole system for us for this, so it's actually a reduction based on their actions inside the system.
So it actually reduces their sentence, not?
Yeah, based on the criteria of work, disciplinary, and a variety of things.
Could be a good. And the other thing is, they have to be made a trustee. So there's criteria for that. They can't warrant another sentence. Let's say you had a 50-day sentence. You become a trustee. You fit for the program. You're going to cook. You're going to clean. You're going to do work around there. That's part of the work program within the jail to help maintain the jail. That's part of your work program to even qualify for a reduction. But if they had a 50-day sentence and they work through the program, they stay out of trouble, they do everything that the program requires, they're going to get out 25.
Would any of these people be repeat offenders?
I mean, we have a lot of those, and I would hate to say yes, and I would hate to say no, but there's going to be some of those. But that'll go into, do you qualify? Frequent flyer for us probably isn't going to qualify at some point. I don't know that that's mentioned in there about repeat offenders, but that's a policy that we can put in there so that there's some kind of checks and balance for that. Because if somebody's just keep repeating that, they're coming in playing the game, we don't want to reward them in that case. So that's probably something we need to look at.
But all of that is done through the classification committee, correct?
Yes, ma'am. One other question. Just might have to get a statement out there. We're at a point now. The capacity we get one's 113. You said there's 200 in there a day.
Yes, sir.
Average for the month of August was 202. So what Captain said, I think, was you're trying to make room for the violent offenders. So it sounds almost like we're at a point where you can't take people if you got no space for them, no matter how bad they are.
And that's kind of how it reflects to Unit 2. You'll see the numbers are lowering in Unit 2. But if you arrest a guy that doesn't have a prior criminal history of violence, that would classify him to Unit 1. Well, if he gets in there or he comes in and he's sick or he has disciplinary issues or he needs some kind of protective custody, he has to come to Unit 1. So that's the flow, because the way Unit 2 is, if you've seen how it's set up, there's no segregation over there. We're already utilizing our holding, our booking facility as housing as the numbers get high, which was not what it was intended for, but we're talking 2006, when it was somewhere around there. So that's the flow from there to here. So when those numbers get high, that's more medical claims, that's more disciplinary issues or some kind of protective custody. Well, now they got to come over here, and we're all ready for it. So it kind of flows from one unit to the other. Just because our facility's not set up at Unit 2, we can't maximize our use over there.
Yeah. And I know, talking to y'all over the years, y'all been wanting to create more capacity. There's been a lot of effort made toward that. We're making progress toward it, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, sir.
And so we can promise the public we're making promise toward expand that capacity to put those criminals in jail, and I can support this. And I appreciate what y'all do.
Thank you.
We did have a call for a vote. Do I need a motion, Phil?
No.
So we will go ahead and move forward with that. All those in favor of passing proposed resolution number 2405 onto the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution number 2405 moves forward to full court.